Good evening. Welcome. Christmas Eve. Very few announcements, because this is a special night. For everybody that's freaking out about no candles, we're going to do things a little bit differently tonight. After communion, there's candles on both ends of the first pews. So after you have communion, grab a candle on your way back to your seat, and then when we light the candles, Pastor Blackman will walk down the aisle and light one on each edge of the pew, and then you light somebody else's in your pew. So we'll try that, hopefully not set the place on fire. This morning, the hardy, the few, the insane were up early preparing and delivering meals for Meals on Wheels today. We did approximately 265 to 275 meals, so a heartfelt thanks to those people that helped. And then, finally, we received a thank you from the Buckner Family Pathways Program for helping them out again this year. So we did good this year. So that's all for now. We have watched and waited for Christ's coming. We watched and waited in hope. Please light the first candle. We watched and we waited for peace. We watched and waited for joy. We watched and waited with love. Now, our Redeemer draws near. Hear again the word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments roiled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let us pray. God of hope, God of peace, God of joy, and God of love, teach us how to love one another as reflections of your light in the world. Now join with me. God of hope, God of peace, God of joy, God of love, into our darkness the light has come. The Lord be with you. Let us worship God.
to number 119, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Amazing love is this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in your bulletin and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. Holy God, you have come among us in Jesus Christ, hallowing our humanity and embodying love. We confess that we have turned from the path Jesus has marked, failing to claim all you intend for us, withholding love from our neighbors and ourselves. Forgive us, be born anew in us, that our lives might reflect Christ's radiant light. Good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful Christians, let's stand together and sing glory to God. Receive the peace of God's forgiveness. Let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ be with you. 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 Peace of Christ be with you.
Join me in the prayer for illumination. Holy God, our hope and strength, by the power of your Spirit, prepare the way in our hearts for the coming of your word, so that we may see the glorious signs of your promise fulfilled through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The first lesson tonight is from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of our glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. Holy wisdom, holy words, thanks be to God.
Join me for a moment with children. And any other children that are with us like to come forward? Trevor, is it? Is it Trevor? Trenton and Lexi, we've been talking about the different candles, and you see each one of them has a word hanging down below it. And I don't know if you've noticed, but these words take on an extra special meaning in the Christian church. It's that one pastor I had once upon a time said something that I've never forgotten. He said, love doesn't define God. God defines love. And I think we could say that about each of these words. When we start out with hope, we said hope is not just, I'm hoping for a bicycle under the Christmas tree. That's wishing. It's the Christian assurance that the future is in God. Peace, and we're going to talk some more about peace tonight. We talked about joy. You know, sometimes we equate joy with just happiness. But you know, a little rain will fall, and we can still have joy because we know God is present with us even in hard times. Likewise, what I said about love is that love is not just what we see on the movie screen from Hollywood. And I just knocked one up. It is also the unconditional caring that God shows for us and that we're asked to show for each other. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are with us and that you richly define our language to mean that you are with us and that you love us and that you bring us peace. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming forward, Trent.
Our next scripture reading is Isaiah 9, beginning with verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is the fourth in a series of sermons about Jesus and the candles of Advent. First, we considered that Jesus is the Prince of Hope, not wishfulness, but the assurance that God's purpose for us will prevail, as demonstrated by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That hope is represented by the first candle in the Advent wreath. The third candle of the Advent wreath, the candle of joy, we considered how Jesus is our Prince of Joy. Joy that's more than mere happiness, but is a true appreciation of the presence of God with us no matter what the circumstances. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, we lit the love candle, and we considered how Jesus is the Prince of Love, a love that exceeds human love. Tonight on Christmas Eve, we lit the Christ candle at the center of the wreath, and we consider how Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We conclude our service with a candle lighting ceremony where each of us takes the light of Christ, the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love of Christ with us into the world. So what does it mean that Jesus is the Prince of Peace? Peace is often defined as simply the absence of war, but it's so much more. The word for peace in Hebrew is shalom, a word that's familiar to our ears because it's used as a greeting and a blessing. In Hebrew, it can mean the absence of strife, but it usually signifies much more. It essentially denotes a satisfied condition, a state of peacefulness, a sense of well-being, both externally and internally. Donald McKim in the Westminster Dictionary of Theological Terms goes further, defining peace as pointing to, quote, full societal and personal well-being, coupled with righteousness and possible only as a gift of God. As you recall, righteousness is a right relationship with God. We maintain a right relationship with God when we live in obedience, aligning ourselves with God's purpose for our lives individually and as a community. We can only do this through Jesus Christ, our Prince of Peace, who restores us to right relationship with God. Through the gift of Jesus Christ, God desires that we live in right relationship with God and with each other. That is true peace, true well-being, true righteousness. This peace-based theology can be traced to one of the earliest sermons recorded in the New Testament, the sermon of Peter to the household of Cornelius in Acts 10. As you may recall, Peter was reluctant to go to Cornelius because Cornelius was not a Jew. That is, he was a Gentile from another country. Peter had a dream, told him not to call anything unclean which God has cleansed. So Peter went and saw the Holy Spirit descend on the household. And Peter responds with these words, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ? He is Lord of all." Somehow we seem to think that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. All too often we act like non-Americans are all like Peter's impression of non-Jews. If we truly follow the Prince of Peace, we need to remember that Jesus is Lord of all. Not only Peter, but also Paul preached a theology of peace. Paul reminds the Ephesians that they were once the aliens or outsiders. Like Cornelius' household, the Ephesians were Gentiles. Paul writes in Ephesians 2:12-20. "Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far off have been brought nearby by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself the one new humanity in place of the two." Paul says, "thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Paul makes it clear that the coming of Christ was not only to end hostility, but also to make us one household, built on the foundation that is Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So what is our role in this? Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." It is up to us to pass the peace of Christ to one another in this place, but also beyond these walls, with the ultimate goal that we all experience well-being in the household of God. So how do we become peacemakers? How do we truly pass the peace of Christ? Paul says it this way in Romans: live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." End quote. Thankfully, we are not expected to do this on our own. Even though we walk in darkness, our Prince of Peace has come to be our light. We commemorate that gift of light every Christmas Eve as we receive the light of Christ's peace and pass it to those around us. Soon the light of the Prince of Peace has spread to the whole room and from here to the whole world. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. Amen.
Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, we come to the table. This is the table that the Lord sets. This is not First Presbyterian Church's table. This is not the Presbyterian Church USA's table. This is the Lord's table. And all who seek Him are welcome at this table. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and from north and south and feast together at the table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at the table, He took bread and blessed it and broke it. And after having done so, they recognized Him. And their eyes were open. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these Your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By Your Spirit, make us one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world, in union with Your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that You will fulfill Your eternal purpose in us
and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ come in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to do this a little bit differently tonight because Christmas Eve is special. We do communion by intention. Now, I know with the new variant of the virus, some people may be a little wary. I'm going to use hand sanitizer before handing out the bread. And I'm going to wear a mask as well. Anyone who would like to wear a mask or whatever, you're welcome to. We also have, if you're concerned about what intention is what I ask you to do is starting at the front, one row at a time, come to the center aisle, walk up to the table. There'll be two elders at either side with the cup, and I'll be in the middle with the bread. And I'll break off a piece of bread for you with my newly disinfected hands and hand it to you. Now, don't be surprised if I give you a big piece of bread, because I learned in seminary that the bread represents the grace of God. And we believe that God is generous with God's grace. So, I will give you a generous piece of bread. And then if you'll go toward the side where you're sitting and dip the bread in the cup of the elder that's on that side, and then progress back to your seat using the outer aisle. And also at the end of the front pews, as you're doing that, there's a basket full of candles. If you will grab a candle too in preparation for our candle lighting ceremony. And what I'll do at that, when we get to that point, is I will come and light a candle from the Christ candle and walk down the center aisle and light on either side the first person sitting in the pew, and then it's up to that person to then pass down the pew. And we'll turn the lights down, and it's a beautiful effect as we see the light of the love of Christ spreading in the room. We'll sing Silent Night as we're doing that, and then we'll sing, after everybody is lit and we've finished singing Silent Night, the lights will come up and we'll sing Joy to the World, because that's what we do, is we leave this place with joy. And at that point, you can return your candles in the narthex. Okay. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread. And after having blessed it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood." As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will the communion service please come forward? Come, the feast is ready. Body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ. Thank you. We sing a new song to you, Lord. Through this bread and wine, we receive your joy. All of creation praises you, joining with glad voices to share the good news of Christ's saving birth. We give thanks for the word you first sang, Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, if you'll please stand and turn to the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletin. The Nicene Creed, I believe it's on the insert. What do you believe?
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Now please, excuse me. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 121, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Dream and sleep, the silent star.
trusting in the steadfast love of the Lord. Let us pray for the fulfillment of God's promises, saying, O Christ, our light. We pray for the church. With Mary, help us to treasure and ponder the gift that has been given to us, a gift of good news and great joy for all. O Christ, our light. We pray for the world. With the prophets, help us to proclaim the promise of your peace for all nations and your justice for all people. O Christ, our light. We pray for our communities. With the shepherds, help us to keep watch over those entrusted to our care and all who need protection this night. O Christ, our light. We pray for the earth. With John the Baptist, help us to speak out where there is need for change. Guide us that our footprints might go lightly on the earth. O Christ, our light. We pray for loved ones. With the angels, help us to offer signs of hope, comfort, and joy for all those who live in fear. O Christ, our light. Sovereign God, keep us watching and working for the promise of your heavenly realm until all the earth rejoices at your coming in glory through Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, so during the singing of the hymn, if everybody would stand as you're able, we're going to sing Silent Night, The Lights Will Darken, and I will light candles as I described before going down the center aisle, and if you will pass it, the light, to those beside you.
And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.